Unpaved, Sean Salisbury here. We're bringing authentic, real stuff to you. Hardcore opinion.
Sean Salisbury, a great NFL analyst, a former NFL quarterback.
To me, Tom Brady is the GOAT because he's done more with less than any player at that position we've ever had.
What's up, everybody? November 18th. It's a Tuesday, I believe. My days are all screwed up with all these sports we got to watch and my kids' sports, and I never know what.
It better be a damn Tuesday.
Yeah, I just, Monday Night Football last night. I got to know it's a Tuesday. So we got a ton to talk about today. Please go like and subscribe to our YouTube channel at Unpaved Sean Salisbury. Follow him at Sean Unfiltered, me at Adam G. Sager, the show at Unpaved on Rumble. Sean, how are we feeling on this Tuesday?
I feel great, man. There's a ton to discuss. A lot of college football talk about, as far as who's going where. We may get some surprises in that. I was interested to see that UT's athletic director, Texas's athletic director, responded to Desmond Howard's video. We can discuss that about the Steve Sarkisian situation, if there is even a situation. And the Raiders suck still. And I can say that because I grew up a Raider fan. So it's kind of like anything. If you're a certain religion, you can make fun of your own religion, right, Segs? Yeah. If you're a certain race, you can make fun of your own race. If you're a certain, if you're a Raider fan, it gives me a chance to say, since I'm a lifelong Raider fan, it gets carte blanche to make me make fun of my Raiders, just like you. You can make fun of gay people if you want because you're gay, but that's okay. We accept it. We welcome you in, and so we want to make sure you're allowed to do that. See, that's how it works.
All right, well, just like, today was a fun show. We'll be back tomorrow.
But I can make fun of the Raiders, well, because as a lifelong Raider fan, I just assume it gives me carte blanche to actually rip them to shreds. Like I said yesterday, the commitment to mediocrity is alive and well, as opposed to the commitment to excellence. But they're bad. Geno Smith has regressed this year. He has taken a step back. It's not just him. I don't know. Chip Kelly, it's amazing how the fluctuation. At the beginning of the year, oh, my gosh, this guy is the most – everybody should have signed him for $6 million as a coordinator. Now it's 10, 11, 12 weeks in, and now he's the most overrated coordinator at $6 million a year. NFL-wise in the league. And right now, you could have got a $600,000 coordinator to do what he's been doing there. So is it a coaching, development, players, Chip, the personnel? It's amazing because he's had unbelievable success, and then he's had some success that, well, or lack thereof, that gets us questioning. So I do reserve the right as a Raider fan, just like you with the Bears, to be able to criticize any way I want.
Yeah, I got a couple different directions I want to go with the Raiders in just a little bit, but before we get into the big top stories of the day in college football, let's wrap up real quick. Ja'Marr Chase suspended one game, will lose over $500,000 when you take away his game check and his per game bonus. Real quick, right decision by the NFL.
This is hell yes. We say, well, you should fine him. This is in essence a fine and a suspension. Yes.
Right.
Now, if they suspended him with pay, what good does it do? You suspended him, you give him the guys fresh legs off. They're not going to the playoffs. This gives him to get paid to take a week vacation. Hell, which would be ridiculous. So you hit him with that roster, like per game bonus he gets, which is like 50 plus, almost 60 grand a game. I think Segs is what that is. Active roster bonus, I believe, is what
it's
is.
Yeah, it's like 58 and then, change.
Right. And then he gets, pushing for like 440 something or whatever, almost 450. It's a $500,000 combined too with his per game, his weekly game check. You want to talk about the most expensive slobber on the planet. Now, yeah. Think about the common sense now. Great player. Like I said, I don't know about the human being. I know this, and I saw an interesting post. I think it was from Reggie Jackson yesterday. Because, you know, I'm a big fan of Reginald Martinez Jackson, and I'm assuming it's him saying it, hopefully, because he's put a lot of good posts up over the years. Is he talked about this, and I mentioned it slightly yesterday, Segs, before I even saw it. I said, these kind of things, I think I did say it to you. It follows you around, or maybe JB when we had him on. This does for you. Punching a guy in the face is one thing. You know, you're like a hockey fight where you're chested up and two guys going at it or arguing with your coach. But spitting in somebody's face follows you around when you're in a coat and tie and street clothes when your career's over. This is a phenomenal talent. I'm sure a good – I mean, I've never been around him. I'm sure a good guy. Because I'm not going to call a guy a heel in every part of his life because he made a stupid character flaw mistake. But you start to say – well, is this the way he is in real life? Would he spit in somebody's face? I'm hoping that we're wrong about that. So I'm trying to, I try like hell, and we all should, to not judge somebody's entire body of work in their life and on the field by one horrendous, shitty incident, which it was.
Right.
But I call this an incident. It's like time and a half for a worker, for somebody who actually puts real work in, like, you know, stuff that we don't do on them. I mean, this is real work, but you get my point, Segs. Like our parents grinding every day, they're putting work in. This is like time and a half. And my dad would get time and a half. It was like in construction. It was like, damn, the bone. We're going to go out to dinner this week, right? And it was really right. That. And this is a time and a half character flaw because now you got to live it down. We all make mistakes. Say, yeah, I did something stupid. I got in a fist fight with a buddy or on the field. My teammate and I, we're good now. This is how do you live it down? Because the first thing we think of, oh, this is it. This is in the DNA. This is who you are. And I'm trying my best, because we're all guilty of it, not to take one incident and make him, that's his whole life. It's a life sentence. I don't want to do that, because I'm sure there's plenty that would swear by Ja'Marr Chase as a human. And I hope that's
right.
I'm judging this incident. And this incident was weak, cowardice, pussy. This is just bitch stuff, man. It just is. You just don't do it. So when people say that's expensive, should he have? Yeah, he should have missed a game, and he should have been taking all $500,000. Now, he makes a lot, but I'm going to tell you, how are you ever getting that back? You're not going back saying, you guys, I got $3.5 million for spitting on somebody. Do you think in my next contract you can put an extra $500,000 in a bonus? Well, you lost $500,000. Think about, no matter how much money you make, $500,000 still $500,000. So my thing is, I'm trying to not to judge somebody on their stupidity, which we all have, but I ain't doing this part of the stupidity. We'll all do something stupid, but I ain't spitting on somebody. You know, take your ass whooping if that's what it is, or give an ass whooping face to face, but don't spit on somebody. So I'm hoping that he moves on from this, but it's harder to live down, Sakes, because it's worse than a cheap shot on a football field, because it's just like, you got to dig down and deep and dirty to spit on a fellow player, let alone, you know, in a game with cameras on it. Just who knows? But I'm going to try, as we all should, not to judge his life by a stupid incident. But even if you did or didn't judge his life, I could tell you one thing. If he's not sitting at home saying, I just lost $500,000 for spitting on a cat, that's a then that's expensive. But I'll promise you, as we sit here today, you will never in his NFL career in public see him do that again.
Yeah,
because none of us are dumb enough to give away $1 million, as alone $500,000, on spitting on somebody. So I think it's a valuable lesson learned, and hopefully he did, but it's one that every ounce of it, I don't feel bad one bit, or like, oh, I feel sorry for him because he had $1 million or $500,000 taken out of it. That's called, you made a bad choice. That's not an accident. That's a decision. Made a bad choice. Just don't do it again. I'm glad the NFL hit him that hard, and they should have.
Yeah. And then this isn't the first spitting incident we had. We had it in week 1, 6 seconds into the NFL season, when Jalen Carter spit on Dak Prescott.
I'm not so sure, Segs, real quick, that if there's another guy, I know that sometimes, you know, you got to be the repeat offender, but if another guy does it, when are we getting to the point to say, dude, because I know this about athletes, hit them with a small fine, they'll laugh.
Yes.
Continue to let them play. You want to get into an athlete's head, take away a game, a lot of money, and don't let them do what they love to do. And he got both in this. If you're the next guy and you're not learning from it, What's the next one? If somebody's dumb enough to spit now again, two games? When are we just can't keep letting this happen. To me, it's as down and dirty as cheap, like I said, is hitting somebody low when they're not prepared for it. It really is. And I just think it's weak. So, and it doesn't mean I don't think Ja'Marr Chase is a good guy. I don't know him, but I can tell you this. This was an incident that if you're not watching and paying close attention, then none of us are very bright. It was Bush League.
Yes, very, very much so. All right, big stories in college football happening right now. We've got Lane Kiffin, family members taking a trip to Gainesville, checking it out. Then the next day, he and family go to Baton Rouge, check it out. Then we hear about this ultimatum that Ole Miss has put out there saying basically by the Monday or Tuesday, I can't remember the exact day, before the Egg Bowl against Mississippi State, he has to make a decision if he's staying or not, or else they got to consider if they're going to go into the college football playoff without him and put an interim coach in there as he continues to look at other jobs. So he went on Pat McAfee today, said that the ultimatum is not true. Now, I don't know why you have Lane Kiffin on your show today to then not even ask him about Florida or LSU or about the trips that family members and he took over these last couple days. But Pat McAfee didn't even ask him. Didn't even ask him where he's going to coach next year. Didn't ask him really anything. The one thing I did take away from it that Pat pointed out right after Lane got off the air with him, that Lane does look very happy at Ole Miss. So it's, I honestly came out of it when I saw the trips, I was like, he's gone. But then I hear him talk and the way this is all shaping up, to me, I think he stays. I don't know. Right now, I would put it 60-40 that he stays at Ole Miss over going to Florida or LSU.
Okay.
How about you?
There's different branches. First off, I didn't see the Mac of him. I knew he was going on there, but I did not see it, Sags.
Yeah.
My question is, and if it was anybody's show, like when the Mannings had on wasn't it Bob Iger on Disney?
Yes, that's who it was. I was trying to think of the name. The Disney
person. They didn't interview him and ask him about the YouTube thing, which has been taken care of.
Like, what
are we? To me, not on the Mannings. Whoever decided that you shouldn't ask him that, because I know the Mannings are part of the, that you shouldn't ask him that.
Right.
To me, it's a credibility problem. Not on the Mannings, on the fact that he's on. That should have been the number one question.
That's the number one story with him. This is no the number question. One story with Lane Kiffin.
That cost people money and people were frustrated. It was the number one question in the sports world on TV and sports across the country. Now with this, I don't know. You know my affinity for Lane. I used to go watch him play high school football. I love the guy. But let's talk business here. One is, I didn't see it and I don't know why. But if I'm having him on, the number one thing I got to get through, why visit Florida? Why visit LSU? You look happy. You look like you want to do it. Why visit if you are happy?
Yeah.
And if you go in knowing you can't ask any of these questions, the truth of the matter is, as much as I love him, I'd put my arm around him and say, hey, man, I get it. But you can understand on my end what it's going to look like to me. Let's go after you've made a decision, or if you're staying, come on a week later. I would have asked that. It'd be like, I don't know. If you had, like if Aaron Rodgers was going to retire at the end with this injury situation, let's say at the end of this year, and I had him on and I didn't ask him.
Right.
It feels odd to me. And I'm not saying for Pat, anybody, because, you know, Pat gets a lot of great guests. And I understand some people with their PR will say, listen, I'm coming on, but we cannot discuss this. For me, if you're putting limitations on what I can ask, then I didn't get the most out of the interview.
Right.
It'd be like asking, you know, Joe Rogan. I mean, I don't compare the president to Lane Kiffin, but in his world, if you had the president on and didn't ask him about the borders when he was trying to run for president, or Kamala Harris when she was, why the borders are open. You know what I'm saying? That's their biggest question, or whatever their number one policy issue is. You wouldn't ask them that? Of course you would. So I don't know the restrictions and why. That's for them to decide, which is fine. Pat does a great job and gets a lot of great guests. On the other side of this, here's what I do know, and I told you guys this in our pre-show talk. Lane Kiffin, if you're going to Baton Rouge or going to Gainesville, you're interested. You don't go to those places unless two things. One, you want bigger and more money with Ole Miss, or two, you're interested in another coaching job.
Right.
And on the other side of that, as much as I love Lane, if I'm the athletic director or the provost or the president of Ole Miss, I am, whether it's true or not about the ultimatum, I too am given an ultimatum at some point. You, I mean, there's recruits. You can't, this can't roll into January. You got to go get players.
Right.
And I would imagine somebody wants to make a decision. And as good as Lane is, and he is really good, and I think he is a phenomenal human and a great coach and has matured so much in life and in the coaching business, I get it. But if you're Ole Miss, you can, because then you're going to lose out on other candidates that you may be interested in if Lane Kiffin does leave. And I understand that every school that's available, Lane becomes a target for you wanting to have him come coach your school. I get it.
Right.
But I, too, if it's not true, I would set a time privately with him saying, here's the cutoff, man. We have got to move forward if you're not coming back. I, too, we've talked about it, Segs, off the air. Lane Kiffin looks like, and I've said it on the air, that this is not the Ole Miss job of 20 years ago. This is a different job. Ole Miss is becoming a powerhouse every year. A lot of it's because Lane, he gets recruits. He'll get transfer portal. He gets Jackson Dart from SC. He's going to get these guys. And a lot of it's a tribute to him and what Ole Miss is building. I love it. People are still going to say LSU and Florida are going to get better recruits.
Mm-hmm.
That's just what they're going to say, more access to them. So for me, if I'm Ole Miss, I do got to set it, even if it's not true. I would set a time where we got to come to a conclusion about the decision. What if Ole Miss, what if Florida and LSU decide to wait till January 5th? They want to go through the whole process and wait 30 more days. What do you do if you're Ole Miss? And right. Your guy's the top candidate. Do you all of a sudden do what seems to happen all the time? We'll extend you 3 more years and give you $15 million a year, whatever that is. I understand Lane's side. There's interest. Hey, you've put yourself in a position to hold the cards, which is great. So I get all of it, Segs, but you're not going to these places. Unless, there's only two reasons. You want to up your contract with Ole Miss, or you're interested in leaving. There's no in between here.
Right. See,
you're not taking, no offense to Baton Rouge, because I love it. You ain't taking vacations to Baton Rouge. I'm sorry. No. You're just not. New Orleans, yes. You're not going on a vacation. You're going there for a purpose. And I love it there. But you're not taking a family vacation to Baton Rouge. And Gainesville, you may go because you're closer. You know, you say, well, I'll go to the beach after. But you ain't going to Gainesville for a family vacation either. You're going there to look at a job. All of us would do the same thing. So, but if I'm the AD at Ole Miss, I can't give you red carpet ride and rub the genie and you know, rub it so the genie comes out and grants you 3 wishes. If you're interested in going to places that are obviously, and by most accounts, going to get you more recruits and probably more money than you're going to get at Ole Miss. Yet, of the 3 schools, Ole Miss can beat any of them. Right now, Ole Miss is better than both of them. So, you know, it depends, but I hope he stays. I said at the beginning, I'd love to see him stay and be that guy that says Ole Miss is going to be the next Clemson. I'd love that. But the temptation is going to be big, man. If it's going to be big. But if you're Ole Miss, you just can't sit back and say, well, I'll just wait and be at your beck and call. And I'd love that for Lane, but you just can't do it. And that question needs to be asked him. If you're not interested, why are you going?
Right.
Of course he's interested, or he wouldn't go.
Let's hear from Lane Kiffin on Pat McAfee. They got Bailey and Tripoli have a clip for us. Go ahead and play it for us, fellas.
Distractions that come with having success. You just talked about the past 3 years being an absolute juggernaut down there in the SEC for Ole Miss. All the success you've had in the past, your name is a topic of discussion everywhere, seemingly, and will be for the rest of your life. It's a good thing. I don't think it's a bad thing, because it means that you're having success, which is why other people are certainly going to mention your name whenever jobs open up. But there's a rumor now circulating on the internet, and we appreciate you joining us here to maybe kind of clarify this. Was there like an ultimatum given to you in the middle of a season from Ole Miss? It feels like the way I'm reading it on the internet is that Ole Miss has told you, and you were doing yoga, I guess, this morning with the AD. Ole Miss has told you, like, we need an answer. Is that true? And how are you handling it all with the team with what's currently taking place?
Yeah, that's absolutely not true. There's been no ultimatum in anything like that at all. And so I don't know where that came from, like a lot of stuff that comes out there. Like I said, man, we're having a blast. I love it here. I mean, our running back sitting right over here. Come on over. And it just couldn't be better. Like I say, you pray for things. Our fans prayed for this type of thing, and now we're in the middle of it. So enjoy it. You're 10-1. You're getting ready. You got a bye week. You get to watch half the country lose, and there's no way we can lose Saturday. And then you play the Egg Bowl. and go dominate that and keep that Egg Bowl trophy home where it's been for a long time.
I don't know, Sean, when I watch it and I listen, first of all, the ultimatum thing, I believe 100% is real. I mean, I just think it's, you know, it's Ole Miss doing what they have to do to make sure that, hey, we're not going to get left out in the cold here just because you say, oh, I'm going to LSU and we're trying to get ready for a playoff game, keep our recruits. And I just look, because you mentioned, you know, you can get better recruits. So LSU and Florida currently sit without a head coach. Ole Miss has Lane Kiffin, the hottest head coaching name out there. Right now for on three team recruiting, LSU sits at 11, Florida sits at 13, Ole Miss sits at 19. So those two teams are still ahead of Ole Miss with no head coach, with decommits that I think LSU's had one and Florida has had, I want to say one.
Doesn't and that validate my Penn point? State,
it's like about 17.
Yeah, validates my point about recruiting. Yes. Why somebody would be interested in those jobs aside from they're pretty good and good fan base, right? Just like Ole Miss.
So it's something. The situation, I don't know. Something doesn't smell right when it comes to this, these trips. But when I just think about it, I think it's Lane working to get more money.
Lane is a great salesman. And that's okay. Yes. Good. So is Kirby Smart. So Nick Saban was the best salesman on the planet.
Yep.
But he didn't have to use car sales. He had neither does Lane. He could sell the Ferrari and still get 400,000 people to want to buy it, right? Or a Mercedes or whatever. And Lane's got it all. He knows how to recruit. He can appeal to the older generation and also a younger generation, a lot in between. He's got a unique ability to do that, to communicate. He obviously knows football. He's matured over some of the jobs where he was, and I'm sure he'd admit it, at Tennessee. It was an immature situation. At SC, he was forcing at times leadership. And now he's settled into doing it. It's just natural to him, and he's friggin' damn good at it. Hell, if I could redo it over again, I'd say, man, wouldn't this Lane Kiffin be great back at SC? It'd be great. Although, you know, heck, Lincoln's got us in a good position right now, and this week's going to be a great test. But Segs, with all that, I do believe there's a hint that Ole Miss is probably going to grow weary. And would like this when you're talking about the ultimatum. Ultimatum is such a harsh word. It makes it sound like it's screw you if you go, you know, one of those. But conversations have had to be had between Lane and them about when can we expect a decision. Yeah. And so that's got to be a little insecure for the university. I'm sure Lane wants more money. Who doesn't? What coach? We all do. You want more money in your job if you feel like you're performing. And he has been. It has made Ole Miss. You know, we talk about all the stuff that Deion did just by his presence in Colorado. Look what Lane's done by not his, just his presence, but his winning at Ole Miss. And he wins. So that's a good thing. It has him in the hunt every year. But that notwithstanding, Segs, to me, unless I was absolutely, like I said, if I was absolutely told there's certain things I can't ask, I probably would have said, let's delay the interview until something does come about, like I said. But the natural question for me after that would have been, are you considering leaving Ole Miss? And he could have reserved the right to say, I can't talk about that right now.
Right.
Or I'm absolutely not. I'm happy here, because he looks happy and seems happy. But who wouldn't? He's 10-1 with a bye week. He's got a player in there, and everybody in the world wants him to coach for him. Shit. Do you blame him? Mm-hmm. I'd be happy too. And he looks healthy and he looks great, and all that. But I would have asked and had him say, Sean, I can't talk about that right now. Okay. Or no comment. Or no, I'm not going anywhere. I'm here to stay at Ole Miss. And then we'll start to hear the other stuff. Well, LSU, and then why'd you visit there? Was it a vacation? Mm-hmm. Listen, if you think it's cut and dry that he's going back to Ole Miss without an interest in the other schools, then why is he visiting?
Right.
I mean, the common sense just says, so for me, the next natural question, unless, you know, they were told you can't ask this, and I get the respect part, but I simply need to know, okay, you're happy, you look happy, you're doing yoga with your AD. Are you staying at Ole Miss? Are you considering leaving? Can't talk about that. I'm here right now. You can read between the lines on an answer when somebody gives it to you. And to me, but I do get, if Pat was told there's a certain place we can't go, I get it. And Lane's a great guy, but I don't think this is the last you're hearing of the story. If that's the case, in 2 days of all of a sudden we hear, Segs, that they, like in Indiana, they've upgraded it and increased this for 5 more years, then I don't blame him for staying. Because right now, as far as programs go, Florida and LSU are not better teams, and they're not better prepared than Ole Miss is. But they're always going to have at least a little more access to recruits. But the great equalizer is Lane Kiffin, the recruiter, and Nick Saban will always tell you that his great, I mean, and anybody around him, his greatest trait was Nick Saban knew how to recruit, hence why the money in NIL became the great equalizer. Yeah. Nick Saban would still be the head coach at Alabama if NIL and the transfer portal were controlled and weren't out of hand, because then he would still have one up on everybody else. The ability to recruit when others couldn't. That was his strength. And Lane Kiffin ain't far off from that. Great recruiter.
Well, we'll continue to follow this story as it happens. Again, you got to expect something here in the next week or so from Lane Kiffin, if it's staying at Ole Miss, if it's leaking that he's leaning LSU or Florida, whichever way it is. But we did have our first big domino fall yesterday, and that is the former Penn State head coach that was fired from Penn State, James Franklin, going to Virginia Tech. I think it's a good hire. I think he will recruit well. I think he'll bring some of his Penn State recruits that had decommitted over the last few month or few weeks. And I think this will help Virginia Tech kind of get back to being where Virginia Tech should be in terms of relevance. I don't know how good they'll ever be, because I don't know how much I trust James Franklin, the coach, but James Franklin, the recruiter, will get some recruits in there, and they'll fight for some ACC titles and stuff like that. But overall, I think it's a fine hire. I'm not going to be, oh my God, this is outstanding, great hire. This is the best ever. I think it's a fine hire, and I think he'll do some good things and he'll do some bad things, just like he does everywhere he's been.
Yeah, Segs, I think this is a really good hire under the circumstances. I do, and here's what. For the same reasons that we said he had trouble winning big games and big moments, you got to give credit for what he's done with programs he's been to that have gotten better. Mm-hmm. Vanderbilt got better when James Franklin was there. Penn State, considering they were always in the hunt every year. They just were. Now, mm-hmm. they always came up short, but they were in the hunt. And 9 or 10 wins at Virginia Tech is good enough to keep you there. And he will at some point get enough recruits. He's an early fixer. He's able to go into programs with his energy and get people to buy in. The question is, after a long time, can he keep the buy? He left Vanderbilt because he knew the upgrade was bigger.
Right.
He left Penn State because, well, it's not a bigger upgrade, but he got fired because he couldn't win those games. But early on, people were, every year a job came up, or every year coaching coach of the year or preseason talk, this guy's name's always come up. So this is good. This is the biggest hire they've had since Frank Beamer left. No question about it, since Coach Beamer left. And we'll probably get them as close as they've been since Coach Beamer left, because you'll get good players. Anyway, the Virginia area down there in Virginia Beach, so there's good players. You know, it's like Newport News and all, there's mm-hmm. good players. And I've been to Blacksburg. When they're going good, we talk about LSU's night atmosphere at Death Valley, great. And Happy Valley at Penn State and a whiteout, big. I'm going to tell you now that one of the great venues in college sports is a game in Blacksburg. And Nike, it's the walk down the tunnel. It's a great place, and they need to get that back. So he'll go in and fix it. Don't be surprised if in 2 years they're winning nine. I mean, they're competing for it. I'm dead serious. Yet the question is, when they get to that point, how many of those big games will they win to get them beyond that point? That's where he's running to a wall. There's always a ceiling on where James Franklin's going. But Virginia Tech has had some average hires, and they've fallen off. And people that are kind of young over the last 5, 6, 8, 10 years, whatever it's been, that really don't know Virginia Tech football. You know, you think Michael Vick, but even after Michael Vick, there are some good teams there.
Yeah.
They're better. This is an underachieving, sneaky good job. I'm just telling you, it is. And they can get some players. James Franklin can recruit out of state, which will help. And there'll be a different energy about Virginia Tech, which is James Franklin's special. So they'll get better, and I think it's a good hire. I think it was time for Penn State to move on, but Virginia Tech actually gets a guy who they never would have got had he won big games. That he would have either gone from Penn State to LSU or would have stayed. This is not top tier, but when they're going good, they are in that next group of quarterbacks. It may not be your elite guys, but they're always on the doorstep. And I think James Franklin will be good. He's a fixer. Fix it. The question is, can he bust through the ceiling that's always seemed to be a problem with him in big games? We'll find out. I think this works for both, and I think it's an upgrade for Virginia Tech.
Yeah, so first domino falls. Another one that we're kind of hearing some whispers on now, and some have linked him to LSU, and that's Kenny Dillingham at Arizona State. We've heard rumors that, I mean, he came out and said he's very happy at Arizona State, you know, all this stuff. But now we hear rumors this morning of Sam Leavitt most likely never playing at Arizona State again. Could you see those two as a package deal? And maybe if Lane does stay at Ole Miss, he could make the jump to Dillingham and Sam Leavitt go to LSU. Nussmeier transfers somewhere else because he doesn't seem like he's the guy there right now. I mean, he's
Nussmeier's
played terrible
gotta go,
this year.
Though, didn't they? Isn't this Nussmeier's eligibility up?
Oh, is he eligibility up?
I think he's.
Okay.
I
wasn't sure.
I think that, and the truth is, after all this, I think Nussmeier's eligibility is up. But even if it's not, LSU is going to move on from yes. Garrett Nussmeier one way or the other. He's now, I don't know. I think that he's used all his eligibility. I may be crazy. Maybe he has 1 year left of it, Segs. I don't know with all you know, with what went on during COVID. I don't know. But they already benched him last week and they're starting somebody else. Yeah, his run at LSU is done one way or the other. And I think it'll be moving on to Sundays for him because I think that it's time. But I also know on the other end that Leavitt, so to answer your question, why would Sam Leavitt all of a sudden start talking about leaving if that coach that he loved was still there? Yeah. Okay. And maybe he wants to go to a program that throws it more, or I don't know. I mean, a bigger program, more NIL money. I don't know. But maybe he's heard the whispers. Maybe he and Kenny are a package deal. Listen, there's a bigger job for Dillingham out there if it continues. He's been great. And Arizona State's a good program. But if LSU or Florida offer Kenny Dillingham the job, Kenny Dillingham's not staying at Arizona State. And just because of the recruiting and the opportunity to win a national title. And that doesn't mean he still can't love ASU. We get this thing that when you leave, you hate. No, there's bigger jobs. And I don't think – here's the problem with schools like Arizona State that are – if you like places to go to college, Tempe, Arizona is a really good one. Okay. Yeah. And he's built a program, and it's a great facility. It's awesome stadium. I shredded my knee twice there, so it sucked for me at USC, but I still love everything about that area. I can tell you this. When Kenny got the job, like some of these jobs that are – when I say a step down, hell, this team won was in a damn playoff last year, right, Segs? I mean, they were – Arizona State was really good.
Yeah.
But they're not blue blood old school program, even though when I played against them, they had produced 8-9 NFL players every year. They were phenomenal. But – this was going to be a bridge job if he had success. It just was. And I hate to say it now. Maybe they'll up it. He says, I love Arizona State. But remember, and I think Dillingham's an Arizona State guy. I think he went to school there. So that I think that's his alma mater, if I'm not mistaken, Segs. I'm pretty sure it is. So that may have some effect. But how do you turn down LSU or Southern Cal or Florida or Penn State or one of those? There's somebody else opposite to him. So hate to say it. At some point, that's the unfortunate part about it. He's built something pretty damn good, and he built it quickly coming in after what happened before him. And then to hit the ground running and do this, Kenny Dillingham's done a great job. There's a bigger job for him, and I wouldn't be shocked if he takes it if somebody offers it. And I wouldn't be shocked if he takes Sam with him, because if Sam loves him, of course he's going to leave and go be a starting quarterback at a bigger program for more money. Of course
right,
he is.
Yeah. And a chance at a national title that they probably
That's exactly right.
get at Arizona State. All right, before we jump into some NFL, Sean, we got a great new sponsor on our show. And it's Augusta Precious Metals. How about you tell me about them?
Yeah, Segs, I can't thank them enough. This is like a game changer for us here to get Augusta Precious Metals as part of it. And Precious Metals, as you're going to find out every single day on here, that you got to pay attention and listen, because I have. Over into just the advertising sponsorship, which is huge for us, Segs, and I'm so grateful to have somebody of this quality on with us who, you know, came after it, found that they mesh with what we're trying to do here, which makes me really happy, which means the standard, because they, Augusta Precious Metal Standards, different level. And after all the time we spent with them and they spent with us, bam, here we go. And I'm just telling you, you got to pay attention, because if you're not, then you're not paying attention, and you may not like preserving your money. So thanks to Augusta Precious Metals for joining us and for being a important sponsor, an important growth of this show and where it's going, because we are here to stay, and so are they. Listen, watching these guys that Segs and I talk about every week reminds me that in football and in life, the clock's ticking. It always is. And when late in the game, you don't want to freeze. Who hasn't? But when it comes to this, you don't want to freeze. You stay calm and try to make a smart move, right? Well, honestly, now that I've been looking at what's happening in the country, and if you haven't, you need to. We're about $38 trillion in debt. That's not hyperbole. Heading towards $40 trillion in 2026. The kind of pressure hits everyone, not just me, not just you. It hits the people making a lot of money and the people that aren't, especially folks trying to retire with confidence. And how many of you have been affected over the years because your dollar was punished or you wanted to retire and can't? It's time to be able to retire in confidence. That's why I've been talking, and now they're a partner with the team at Augusta Precious Metals. And for me, it's not just the partnership. It's me being involved in it, because why? Why wouldn't you want to preserve your money? They're the ones helping people understand how to keep part of their savings in something real, tangible gold, so it's not all tied up to what Washington does next. Now, isn't that a bummer to have to rely on somebody else for your money? They put together a short free guide called the $40 trillion threat report. The $40 trillion threat report. It just explains what's going on and what options you've got. And who doesn't want options? We tell our kids to have them. You want them. If you want to see it, there's a link in my description. You can see it right there. Or you can text Sean at 35052. That's 35052. And they'll send it right over to you. Take a look when you have a minute. It's AugustaPreciousMetals.com, I believe, but you see it down there. I'm so caught up in this link that I'm like, visit that link. It's worth understanding the game you're playing in. You would never go into a game ill-prepared or not studying the opponent. Why would you go into your retirement or your life not studying not only what's good for you, but the opponent? Again, check out the 40 million reasons, but $40 trillion threat report by texting my name, Sean, caps there, to 35052, 35052, and they'll send it right over. Just take a minute and look it over, and you'll understand why gold and precious metals, and then not just now, but it's going to continue to elevate in 2026 and 2027. Go jump all over it. There you go. One more time. Text Sean to 35052, and take a look when you have a minute, and they're going to send the link to the description right on over. Thanks again to Augusta Precious Metals, making a difference, and we're so grateful for their huge advertisement sponsorship on this show.
Yes, welcome aboard the spaceship that we are on.
There you go. Rocket ship, 2-6, because it's headed where it needs ship. To go.
That's a better word than spaceship, yep. Rocket ship. I mean, it's kind of a spaceship sometimes because you never know what the hell we're going to talk about. Right. But it's definitely a rocket ship. All right, let's jump over to the NFL. We talked about it a little bit early in the beginning of the show. The Raiders, they get their ass kicked last night, 33-16 on Monday Night Football by the Dallas Cowboys. The Dallas Cowboys offense is really, really damn good. But the Raiders offense is what I want to focus on, and you talked about it. Chip Kelly, I don't know why this guy, he needs to stay in college. That's where I think he's better off. You have a guy that comes in that's just had a lot of success up in Seattle, in Geno Smith, and I mean, he's really, really, really bad right now. I mean, he looks nothing like the guy we saw in Seattle that kind of resurrected his career.
No doubt.
You've got arguably the best tight end in the NFL in Brock Bowers, and I would put him at number one. And then you have a young kid that you drafted very high, which I don't like. I would never take a running back that high, especially when you have as many holes on your team as the Las Vegas Raiders do, but then you only give them, what, 7 carries last night? I mean, it's a joke what Chip Kelly's done with this offense, and Pete Carroll needs to move on as soon as possible. They need to find themselves a young quarterback and you know, kind of hitch their wagon to him for a little bit and see if they can find that guy. I don't know who that is. I don't know where they'll draft this year, but it will be top 10. And if there is a guy you like, or if it's just you say, hey, we're going to go, we think we can get a guy for a year, or you just run with Geno Smith again and you just say, we're going to be bad. That 2027 class in the NFL draft, the quarterback, and I know we say this a lot, but that quarterback class has a chance to be really, really good compared to this year, which is, well, we don't know what we're going to get. But the Raiders need to do something, and I don't think Chip Kelly's the answer.
Too many ifs in this quarterback class for you to stake everything on picking one high. Now, unless, of course, you were able to work your way up and go get Fernando Mendoza, that'd be great. But I doubt they're going to be in that position.
Right,
with
right.
that, as a lifelong Raider fan, I'm baffled because it doesn't matter who the coach has been and what they've changed. They'll tease you with a year of good football. But from top to bottom, the organization, and I hate it because I bleed silver and black, always have. They've been my organization. Even when I played, I remember when the Chargers, we played them in Oakland, the old Oakland Alameda County Coliseum. First thing I did when I went there before, you know, you walk on the field and then during pregame warmup, I went over to the black hole where the fans are and just high-fived them even as a visiting guy because that's what I grew up watching with Stabler and Fred Hendricks and Cliff Branch and Fred Biletnikoff. Those were my guys. And they've been my favorite franchise forever. But in being honest, Pete hired a staff, and you're only as good as your coaching staff and players. As good as Pete Carroll is, and he is really good, that matters. And you've seen what happened with an interim coach, and you've seen what happened before with John Gruden. They just weren't making the strides necessary. And then the front office and the GM, it doesn't mean they're not good guys and aren't good at their job, but when they're with the Raiders, it feels like there's so many reaches. It's like they're reaching for stuff, overdrafting guys at times, not making the deal at the right time. Maybe Brady's presence will help, but there's just things. And I would have hired Pete Carroll as well. And I get why they went after Chip Kelly. But Chip Kelly's success, he's always had more success as a play caller, sustained success as a college guy than a pro guy. He had some success as a pro guy with Philly, but then it waned a little bit, moved on. But I've never seen anybody in college able to stop him, whether it's an Oregon offensive coordinator at Ohio State. Even at UCLA, got to the point, hell, he didn't get fired from the job. He left the head coaching job at UCLA to go be the coordinator. So he's always had success, and he does know offensive football. But at $6 million a year and then drafting Genty, and then to not – you could have drafted a fifth rounder and given him the ball 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 times. If you're not going to, especially when the quarterback has regressed like he's a backup again. And Geno had much respect for his. And wasn't Geno with Canales? Didn't Canales leave Seattle when he had Geno and then went and got Baker Mayfield and then was with him in Tampa for a couple of years or with
I
Brady?
I want to say you're right, but I'm
with
checking.
Brady, and now he's the head coach. And look at Bryce Young. There is something to this. I believe Canales has helped.
Yes, was the passing game coordinator 2020. 2020 and 2021
there you go.
Seattle Seahawks and was with them before as quarterback coach and so on.
Okay, so I don't know. Is that part of the crutch Geno's had that he just felt comfortable in that system? Well, I can tell you that's when Geno played his best football and Bryce Young's playing his best football and Tom Brady played good football. I don't know if Canales was there as an assistant at the time, but I also believe that he had Baker Mayfield. Did he have Baker Mayfield for a year? And Baker's been there, 3 years now? Six. Regardless, bottom line is Canales has been some places the quarterback play has gotten better. He's rejuvenated some careers where he's been. But Geno, for whatever reason, the mix of Geno, Genty, and Chip Kelly feel like water and oil. It's weird. I'm just talking about on the play calling. Genty's a player, dude. I'm just telling you. So if your quarterback's struggling, what would you do, Segs? You lean on the run game. The guy's not touching the ball enough to make the impact. It'll make Geno's job better. And don't kid yourself, guys that run the offense that Chip Kelly's run, they want to run the football. Leach wants to run it when he was alive. They do want to run it. Lane Kiffin wants to run it. Sarkisian wants to run it. These guys, anybody that Kenny Dillingham, they all want to run it. They're going to throw it, but they do want to run it. I assure you.
Yeah.
But why Chip Kelly refuses to run it, then – the Raiders aren't good enough to play finesse football, and it'll make your quarterback better if you lean on it. I'd love to have them come out and when they say, hey, the ball ain't heavy, Genty touched it 35 times. Right. Geno threw it 24, and we're in it. And I know they get behind and they play behind, but part of that is maybe too many three and outs, and statistically you're just awful. If they decide they want to get into a throwing game on a regular basis, they're not going to win many games, and it's shown that they're not very good. So it's a mix of a lot of things. But Chip Kelly right now is overpaid, and right now that offense is must wear an eye patch or two when the Raiders are playing offensive football. They're awful. A bad watch.
Would you, as a Raiders fan, going into this offseason, would you trade Max Crosby, get the haul of draft picks, maybe a young player that you can stick in somewhere if it's a playmaker, or a young edge maybe to replace Max that you say, okay, we think this kid has some upside. He can help us in the future. But you get the treasure trove of draft picks, which you need because you have so many holes on this team. Would Max Crosby be traded if you were the Raiders?
Yeah, I want Max Crosby on my team. And as a Raider fan, I hate to get rid of him. But as a coach in the organization, you need a couple first-rounders to add to what you're already going to get.
Yeah.
To me, there's only two. Max would be untouchable, but right now he's the one that's going to garner the most stuff in return. And right now, Max Crosby could get 20 sacks. The Raiders aren't winning. The Raiders are not going to make the playoffs. They're just not good enough. Now, two good tight ends. The only untouchables on that roster is one, Jenty's the second one because of where you drafted him, and I think he's got a really bright future. So I got to invest in that now, say, because I just do.
Yeah, yeah. And you draft him, you have to go with that. He's on a rookie deal.
Brock Bowers maybe the best. He is the best tight end in football, and quite frankly, it's an easy decision for me. So he's untouchable because you want to build around. Other than that, and Max would be untouchable, but the fact that Max Crosby, judging from what some of these other guys are getting, can go out and get me two first-round picks more than likely. Yeah. Yes, this offseason, which then would give you what, Segs, three first-round picks coming up. The Raiders are five players away from being five players away.
Right.
So if that's the case, and I'm sure Max would love, you know, he fits the – he looks like the Raiders that played in the 70s and 80s. Max belongs on those teams. Old soul with great football skill set. But if you're Max and you start to say, I'm watching this clock, I'm going to ride this out, but if they trade me, what can I – you're saying they can please trade me to a contender where I can go put a ring on my finger. Because Max Crosby's a great player. But, yes, if it's going to garner more people, which it would, yeah, you probably have to. He's been talked about every offseason for the last 2 years by a lot of people. I hate to do it, but in order to get what I want, I got to have players. Right now, the quarterback 3 years from now is not on the roster, and their running back and tight end are. And, unfortunately, in order to get what I want, I'd probably have to part from Max Crosby, and that's a bummer because he's one of my five favorite players in the league.
Yeah, it would be tough to get rid of him, but I think it would be better off for the Raiders.
Yep, there's no doubt. Long
run. And he's going to be 29 at the start of next season. So, I mean, he's starting to get
there. This is the prime of his career, Stiggs.
Yeah, yep. This is the time to trade him right now. I mean, or at the deadline if you would have got what you were looking for. Also, we saw CeeDee Lamb, George Pickens both have to sit out the first drive. On Sunday, we saw Abdul Carter have to sit out the first drive. He missed a walkthrough practice. Lamb and Pickens, who knows what they did. There's starting to be a trend now of guys missing practices, sitting out. My question to you, though, is does sitting out the first drive of a game do anything to these guys when you're trying to, punish them for something they did?
This is an optics embarrassment. So, well, first of all, are you questioning if Pickens and CeeDee Lamb are the starters?
No.
No. Oh, whoa. Thanks, man. I'll tell you, man, you really hit me hard there. They obviously did something team rule-wise. I don't know what it is. Have they announced it yet? Abdul Carter said. I haven't seen it. So maybe it's out there. I have not seen what they did. They said they were going to handle it. You have to talk to Brian Schottenheimer. And I know before the game, they said they're going to handle it, you know, with Brian Schottenheimer. You could ask him after. I don't know what Brian – I didn't see today, this morning, how he addressed it. Because in truth, I didn't care. You want to know why, Segs? A series? Really?
Right.
A series? So my guess is they broke a team rule. Yeah. That's my guess. Whether it's showing up late, whether it's, you know, whatever it is, my guess is they broke a team rule. If that's the message you're sending, there's a reason why the Cowboys ain't won anything since the mid-90s, if that's your message. Now, listen, I've told this story before, and I don't know if it's a different coaching staff, different assistants, different front office, all that. But The Cowboys have been notorious because a good buddy of mine played there, and it's not back when they were winning Super Bowls. It's post that time. That they're a good player on that team who would fall asleep in his car and truck and wouldn't miss meetings all the time. They take care of it. And you never knew because it was never announced. Mm-hmm. So what difference? What are you telling everybody else? Now, I know all players don't get treated the same, but when it comes to breaking the rules, they have to. Now, I'm not going to treat Aikman the same way I treat the backup quarterback on the field as far as reps and what he wants to do practice-wise. But if somebody breaks curfew or shows up late to a meeting, they're all getting treated the same. That's because of the optics for all the other players, right? And I would imagine the stars want to be treated like that. So I don't know what they did, but whether they loafed or showed up late, whatever it is. But one series, there's no message here. And then doesn't CeeDee Lamb go out and score their first touches? He scores. So what's the message? Two great players did something that the team didn't like and set them down for a series. Now, you want to make an impact? Set them down for a half if you got the balls. But they don't do that. Why? Because the Cowboys know they need to win a friggin' football game. Without those two, your offense is going to suck and your defense isn't that good anyway. So to me, no, it's not impactful. For Abdul Carter, you're way too young, dude. Way too young to be showing up late. The excuse, got this. And we get way too many players thinking this shit's okay to show up late when they want. They're not accountable. Great player. No question about it. I don't, unless somebody's dying. I hate to say that. You know what I mean? I mean it kind of tongue in cheek.
Yeah, like there's an emergency.
Your wife's having to be some kind of an emergency. But if you're just showing up late because you were stuck in traffic, that's a you problem. And it's amazing how many young players, because they're stars and because they're great players, whether it's him or anybody else, get a free ride on this. Oh, yeah, you missed the opening series. Great. Three and out, I'll be back in. There's no message there. There's no message there. So how are you teaching discipline? But I see it in the seventh grade. You see it in high school. Guys just think I could show up when I want because I'm a star. I make money. I get paid. Mm-hmm. I don't know what Abdul Carter's thought process is, but from my optics, listen, a 12-year veteran probably wouldn't show up late, but you know what? I'd assume that Anthony Munoz probably could have showed up late once, apologized, but guess what? He wouldn't. That's the difference.
Right.
And I don't want to hear that it was snowing out. I don't want to hear that it was, I don't care. If it's snowing, then you better leave an hour early. Well, I can't because I might breakfast. Screw your breakfast. My point is that these young players think that this is okay. And, well, have a look at the organizations. You go ahead. The Giants and the Cowboys. Go ahead and you take a look at those organizations. And you tell me whether it's letting Saquon Barkley go, whether it's getting rid of this guy, trading that guy, free spear, letting guys fall asleep, show up late and give them a series. You tell me when the last time that we thought, Eli Manning, when they've been a real threat to really move your needle. I understand they went to the playoffs, the Giants, but I'm talking about the dysfunction of both organizations and owner. Doesn't it exist? Yeah. Doesn't it exist? So does it shock you? And I love Brian Schottenheimer. Marty was one of my favorite people ever. And I think hopefully the Giants are heading the right direction. But what message are you sending? What message are you sending? So to me, it's just so disrespectful. And I know emergencies come up, but if it's not an emergency, why are both of these teams having guys have to sit out? Why? Hell, the Raiders should probably suspend 12 guys. Maybe they'll win a game. But in this case, I just, whatever the rule is, it might be minor. But you know what? It's still, if you set them out for a series, they did something to disrupt your cart or what you're doing in Dallas. But, oh, so you're just, that's like giving CeeDee Lamb a $5 fine.
Right.
Really? Thanks, Coach. I just did another 5 minutes to get loose. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Jerry Jones was on 105.3 The Fan there in Dallas and said they did not start because of an in-house issue that had to do with meeting-type discipline and that they had a, quote, had a late problem there. So,
well, meeting-type discipline, which means
meetings, late, they were out past like a curfew, which I did see, and Triple E pointed out in our little chat that talked that they were out late. I mean, I don't know what it is.
They were either out late and missed a meeting or fell asleep in a meeting. There's only all the two reasons. You either missed a meeting, late to a meeting, a third one, or you fell asleep in it.
I don't care what it was. You'll look like a dumbass by just benching them for one series.
The suspension of one series in both cases is more embarrassing than the players getting one series off. But it shouldn't surprise you. You really want to make an impact? Sit him out of games. I told you guys, Danny Green was great. He just said, you find yourself. Dude, Danny Green cut a guy that missed curfew on a before a game the night before. Cut him. So I'm just telling you, but it's become, oh, Sean, it's not that big a deal. Well, when is it a big deal then? Because I'm going to tell you what destroys organizations and why they don't win. It's not the big things. The big things everybody wants to handle. It's the small things. Forgetting to build a little foundation. Oh, man, I forgot to seal that. Well, it's chipping away now. Or it's a, oh, you know what? We forgot to seal that. I didn't. You start doing that, watch your house start to fall off the foundation.
Yeah.
The foundation's the little things, not the big things. And you keep letting this happen. Guess who's not going to sniff a playoff or Super Bowl this year? And it doesn't mean those guys are bad guys. They, if they're late, whatever decision they made, that's fine. As Denny said also, I don't hold a grudge. You find yourself. But you, we gave you one series off. Ooh, man, I'm humiliated. Yeah, you could see how humiliated they went out and kicked ass anyway. So I just, for me, you'll know how good an organization is by how they handle stuff like this.
Yep.
And right now, neither one of these organizations is worth the powder it takes to blow them to hell and back. Okay? Period.
Period. That's a great way to end it. All right, before we get out of here, if you love college basketball, tonight's always one of your favorite nights of the year. It's the Champions Classic, where we always see Michigan State, Kentucky, Kansas, and Duke play each other in some sort of way. Tonight, we get Michigan State versus Kentucky. So these will be both of our bets of the day. Michigan State, Kentucky is the first game. Kentucky minus 5.5, 153.5 is the over-under. Which way you lean this way? You go with Izzo? Do you go with Kentucky and all the talent they have? Which way do you lean here?
Where's Michigan State ranked today, Segs? What were they at?
I say it was 22nd.
And what, Kentucky favored by a few? What do they got, Kentucky? What's the
block? 5.5.
Give me Michigan State physical. Keep it inside the number. They're athletic, meaning Kentucky's extremely athletic. But I'm going to go, give me Michigan State. This is a Izzo special type game. They'll bang, keep it low. I like Michigan State in the game. So we're just doing point spread, so I don't care about the straight up. Give me Michigan State.
Yeah, so the AP poll has Kentucky at 12, Michigan State at 17. So,
I knew where Kentucky was, but I think that it's a good number. But I think Michigan State will bang enough to keep it close. Give me Michigan State. This is these are the type of games. These are Tom Izzo specials. I'll take Michigan State.
Yeah, I'm going the other way. I think Kentucky has some really good talent, but they do have the luck. I think this is going to be a fun game. Give me Kentucky is kind of stretching it out late to kind of get the win. A
couple knockdown shots at the end, maybe free throws. You kind of find they stay up by the number. Fair.
Yes. And then you have Kansas, who is ranked 24th at the moment.
Low for them at this time of year, Segs, normally. Yes. Normally.
They will face off against number 5, Duke. Duke is a 10.5-point favorite. Now, we were hoping to be able to see the freshman phenoms Cam Boozer for Duke and Darren Peterson for Kansas. Darren Peterson is out for the game tonight, so he will not play for Kansas, which is why I think the numbers double digits right now.
He's talented, Segs.
Yeah, he's one of the best we've seen in a while.
Yep.
This Peterson kid, and then Boozer, he's a
double waiting to happen. Machine. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, and he doesn't play the same way his dad did. He's not just this little 15-foot, you know, face up and hit a little jump shot in your face. He can do everything. He runs the floor much better than his dad did. And
his pops will tell you that too, I'm sure. Yeah.
Well,
he knows how athletic this kid is.
He's got a twin brother on the team as well who's really good but just doesn't get the pub because Cam is so good. So both big boys, the fact that Kansas doesn't have Peterson, I don't know that I like the 10.5. So I'd probably lean Kansas if I'm taking the points. But I do think Duke comes out with a victory here. So I'd take Kansas plus 10.5.
Yeah, I would probably take Kansas too. But Segs, I would definitely take Kansas post-January. You know what I'm saying? Yes. When all their I would. Yes, but I think they'll start.
Right.
Like, usually Kansas is a top 5, top 10 team right now, and they'll suffer some loss, and they're battling for one seed. I know it's early in the season, but not having that the young fella out there, and Duke be fully loaded. This is a tough one for me. I'd probably just pick Duke straight up to win, Segs, in this one. But I'm gonna say this is a, you know, Duke starts to rest some people. Maybe they're down 14 and Kansas gets a couple late buckets. I think it can be a game like that. I would take Kansas at plus 10.5 just on pure reputation. Duke's the better team, obviously, by the rankings. And they're also – but this is – somebody has an out-of-body experience. But these are two games that keep you glued to the TV. Better than Monday Night Football you watched last night. Oh. I sure as hell tell you that. So give me Kansas. Usually every year, Sags, you know this. We've done who's the team I always pick every year.
I was waiting for you to stop talking to say, like, if you've watched us for the last decade, Sean has picked Kansas to win –
every year
championship every single
year. There's the aberration is not picking Kansas, like last year when I picked the University of Houston and almost got to that one. My guy Kelvin, give me Kansas at plus 10.5. Duke wins the game though.
Yes, I'm with you on that. All right, tomorrow we're gonna hit the Chiefs. I think that's something that still needs to be talked over. Is their run of dominance just over? Is it over? Has, you know, the league caught up to Mahomes and Andy Reid? Who are the Buffalo Bills? This is
a team that lost
to the Dolphins and the Falcons, but beat the Chiefs and the Bucks. So I just really don't know who the Bills are. So I want to talk about that.
And I will Aaron tell you Rodgers this.
Wrist, go ahead.
Go ahead. Aaron Rodgers' wrist. Okay. Go ahead.
Aaron Rodgers' wrist, no surgery needed. He's pushing to play against the Bears, which I think that means he will play. And CJ Stroud returning to practice, but will not play Thursday against the Bills. They'll give them that extra time to heal and play the Colts the weekend after.
To my knowledge, Mills is 2-0 and putting up some pretty good numbers. Hey. CJ need to get back out on that field. I'm not saying he's losing his job, but Mills has done what a backup's supposed to do, Segs. What I tell you, doesn't it feel like the coordinator has and D'Amico Ryans have taken the governor off and let him rip?
Yeah.
I mean, it feels probably a little more open.
It was probably because he was getting first team reps while CJ was healthy.
Oh, yeah.
Splitting reps, and that's why he's doing so well.
Thanks, Shadur, you know, Sanders category fans, right? I'll tell you what, he wasn't getting any, went out there and played, and look how he's performed. Obviously, CJ's a quarterback, but he has helped keep them in this the last 2 weeks. Yep. If they lose these last two games, they're done. They had to come from behind in a big way against Jacksonville, and in this game, had to battle their way through this one as well. So he's done a good job, and so you can feel comfortable in knowing he'll post on Thursday, and then they'll get C.J. Stroud healthy. Good prop. It's a good gig to have that you know your backup can win games for you. Real quick, back to Kansas City, and we'll hit it more tomorrow. They're not winning the division, but their playoff run's not over. Let me just put it to you that way, I mean this year. They're good enough to still make a run.
That's the other thing we'll talk about, that bottom of that AFC playoff picture, because it involves – those Houston Texans. It involves the Jags. It involves the Chiefs. So there's a lot of teams right in that little mix for that seventh playoff spot. Baltimore and Pittsburgh, you could add in as a duo because someone's going to win that division, be in. The other one's right there as well. And I think a lot of ride on Aaron Rodgers' health. Can Lamar Jackson stay healthy? Can Baltimore keep winning? There's a lot to discuss when we talk about the bottom two spots, maybe even just the last seventh spot of the playoffs when we're talking about the AFC. So we'll talk about that tomorrow as well. Anything else you want to hit on?
Nope. Look forward to it. And thanks again to our great friends.
Yes.
Our great friends at Augusta Precious Metals. Great to have you on board as one of our needle moving advertisers. So thank you. Great to have you guys pop on in there and let it rip.
And make sure you like and subscribe to our YouTube channel at Unpaved Sean Salisbury. Thanks to Triple E. Thanks to Laura. Thanks to Bailey, as always, doing all the behind-the-scenes work that make us look good. We will be back tomorrow, 1 p.m. Eastern, noon Central. We'll talk to you guys then. Peace.
Unpaved Sean Salisbury here for bringing authentic, real stuff to you. Hardcore opinion.
Sean Salisbury, a great NFL analyst, a former NFL quarterback.